Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? We'll find out in this last episode of You After Show, following up next.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Episode 10.
Yes. We got finale lights.
We needed them. Everything that has happened from 1 through 10, 10 being the most explosive, We need the lights. Welcome, After Buzzers. I am Tequila Jackson, and I will be your revenge analyst for the evening because I won it all. And then to my left, I have the beautiful Adeze, and she will be not only our plot predictor, if there's anymore else to predict, but she'll also give us a couple of news about some of the characters, the actors in the show as well. And then later on in the segment, I'll give you a special segment about stalker stories, real life stalker stories. And this one is going to be dedicated to a woman because we've done men throughout the rest of the season. So we'll do a woman this time. But episode 10, Adeze, what are you thinking? Were there any more shockers than we've already had from 8 and 9? Like, where's your mind at?
I don't want to skip to the very end because I would say the last 2 minutes of this episode was the shockingest part of this whole thing. Like, wow, really? But it was a good finale. Like, everything came back. And some people left us that I didn't think were going to leave us.
Yeah.
And some things happened that I didn't think were going to happen. But I'm excited to get into it from the beginning. I'm really excited to talk about just Joe's reaction to love and how she just has everything figured out. And he's kind of still, like, shocked. Like, did you really think this all out? And, like, is this who you really are? Like, I think he's still shocked at what happened.
Well, were you shocked when she said, so we now know she's a killer, love being killer three times. Yes. I forgot about the babysitter when they were growing up. Three times, exactly. So were you shocked when she started to give her confessions to Joe?
You know, now that you're saying this, it kind of mirrors, like, you know, you see the flashback, right?
Right.
And we see young 40, and she kills the au pair, and then 40 kind of wakes up, and he just believes that he had to have done this because he's in the place and time. And
didn't she put the knife in his hand or on the table or something?
It had to have been me.
Right.
And I just put together that she did the same thing to him with Delilah. He had to have done it, right? Because, like, my flower's here. She's in my cage. She's dead.
She already knew they were...
Right? Like, it had to be me. She did the same thing she did to 40 she did to Joe. And I just put that together.
We give you a round of applause for that. Now I'm over here like, yes, she did.
Yeah, so that is just... man.
So, I don't know. Love killed Candace, like, she killed the babysitter.
Yeah.
Slitting throats is crucial. You're not suffocating. But that's on another level to just, I don't even want to think about that. That made me think that she might be a little bit more calculated than Joe. And then she killed Love, so figuratively, physically, and between her and Joe, I think. Because you see now he can't look at her in the same realm, and he's just really surprised because we know the last episode she's like, Candace is taken care of.
Yeah.
Well, now we see how Candace is taken care of. So then she just starts spilling all the emotions and just everything. She's done it before. She's protecting people that she loves. She does it in the name of love, just like Joe does or has been. So, again, I called him a hypocrite last time because I thought, like, this is what you want. She's telling you how she is protecting you in love, for love, because of love.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're not receptive of her and you're looking at her in a different eye. And you know what? You said something previously that Joe really doesn't want to be a killer.
Yeah.
I believe that, but I think she does. I think
that she wants to be a killer.
Yeah. I think that she does a little more because Joe, we see, has been manipulated in that realm since he was a child. And that's what he's yearning and looking for. Thus far, I don't believe that is love's story. She's doing it for her brother. I can understand that he was being abused and molested. Mm-hmm. But at that point, why not just go to your parents?
I mean, we know why she won't go to her parents.
Yeah, or another adult or something of that matter. And you did that to your brother, which I think now 40 is an addict, has been an addict because he could never get past what he thought he did.
Right.
You played a part in that. And now I see why their codependency is so strong, where she needs to be there and she freaks out every time because of what she did on his behalf for loving her brother.
Yeah.
I just feel like, even when she was blaming Beck for not being a woman enough for Joe because she's not killing for love, I just seen her crazy-eyed for the first time.
I can understand why she didn't go to her parents because she obviously knows that her parents love, I don't say love 40 more. They behold him in a different light than they do her, the mother especially. Mm-hmm. And so if she tells him, I killed, obviously they knew that the au pair was doing this to 40 anyway. So she tells them like, oh, I did this to her because I was protecting 40. She knew that they wouldn't understand and then it would be really hard on her. So I think she felt like since they love him so much and they, you know, they coddle him so much, I'll put this on him. They'll be forgiving of him, like, but now this is my life's duty to look out for. She caused 40's life, so she feels, indebted to him to always be there for him because this is in consequence of her actions from when they were little. So it always makes sense now.
Like, I do see that. You know,
she knew that it would be okay in that way, but now she forever have to look after him, and I think she was okay with that.
And that makes it even more understanding. Where was it? They were at the retreat, and the mother slaps her.
Yeah,
and then he said, "Your only job was to protect him."
Right.
So you're right.
You see that dynamic? It's like she just knows she's not looked at in the same way as him, and even though she maybe feels she has done less fault in life than he has, it's always protect 40, protect 40, protect 40.
The one thing I don't think she planned out well enough is how connected that Joe is to Delilah and Ellie. So when she comes up with Ellie's plan of, we're going to frame her for Hendy's murder, but then I'll get my family lawyer to get her off and get her to the settlement and et cetera, et cetera. The sister can go down as
the posthumous, like, feminine icon.
There we go. And taking him down at the same time. Thank you for filling that in. My just went completely blank. I think that was the part that even weirded him out more.
Yeah.
And I don't think she was really prepared for that. I don't know if she knew how deep and connected their relationships were.
I think she saw it when she saw Joe come in and, like, hold Ellie.
Exactly.
He knew, like, it's not just I'm sleeping with her sister and that's my neighbor. Like, he knew he had some type of affinity for her.
Right.
But it's not the same. Love doesn't feel that way about them. Yeah. So she's like, yeah, she could take the fall, but don't worry about it. I got my lawyers. Like, she doesn't really understand that you're telling a, 15-year-old, 16-year-old to go to jail for murder. But it's okay because I'm going to get you out with my lawyers and I got the LAPD in my pocket. They're not connecting on that.
Did you think that was a good enough plan? Do you think it was considerate of her that she did include Ellie in the grand scheme of things? Or do you think there was another way she could have somehow helped Ellie live life and not have to be on the run at 15.
There's always another way, and that's probably the worst plan ever. I mean, if you're talking about putting someone in jail temporarily for murder at that, I would say that's probably the worst plan. But to love, it's the best plan because of how rich they are. She knew she had a good lawyer for her. Mm. And because of how they can manipulate the LAPD, for her, this is the best plan.
Yeah.
I'll get you out. You just gotta chill for a little bit and ruin your life for a little bit,
right?
You know, that's about the heart of that. I would never suggest that.
Do you think that her at the time, so they're going back, she trusts Joe, she's going to release him, they're getting, I guess, level-headed at this point instead of being just so shocked on each other's end of how loves annoyed that Joe doesn't realize what she's doing because she's doing the same thing that he does. And then the fact that Joe now knows who the real love is, and he, it's a whole new picture of what he wanted and imagined. That she lets him go through and he's choking her, but then she blurts out, "I'm pregnant."
Yeah.
That was a bomb for me. Yeah. I screamed at the TV like, "What? You're what? Oh, bless this baby," because yeah, it just doesn't even already have a good start in life yet. But how do you think that ended up really turning the things around for Love and Joe?
I mean, I think that if Love didn't tell Joe that she was pregnant, that Joe would have killed her. Mm. Because I just think he really couldn't, he was really that, like, shell-shocked about everything that happened. And, like, I think the death of Delilah really messed him up. This wasn't supposed to happen.
Right.
And then, like, who is this girl? I don't even know her, even though it's so hypocritical.
Yeah.
But he's like, who is this girl? And on top of that, you want to throw Ellie in jail for a little bit. Like, this girl is psycho. She's crazy. I'm going to kill her because this is, like, and this is what all the viewers were probably like. I knew I was just like, wow, this is how it ends.
Yeah.
He ends up killing who he did all of this for.
Right.
And she blurts out, "I'm pregnant," and everything changes.
I really thought if he was going to choke her unconscious and put the wrist that he had hidden in his back, the handcuffs, thank you, that he had hidden in his back on her to give her a timer for whatever reason. I kind of felt like at that point, this is where my mind was going to, he was going to go get Ellie and they were both going to escape to Manila with Will or somewhere. Oh.
That's what I thought, because it kind of, just the way the hook of it looked in his back pocket.
Like he was just going to, yeah.
He was
going to
kill her. I don't think
the way she killed,
yeah,
Delilah, Candace.
He could have, I don't know what he was going to do with the handcuffs, but obviously it wasn't going to be something good.
Well, that's also true. And even when they do start to repair things, we see a little towards the end of the show, and then we'll come back, but just because we're on the topic of Joe, Ellie, and Love, that he then gives Ellie the truth, not harshly, but so that it registers to her,
yeah,
that her sister's not coming back.
Yeah.
He got tied up in some things. It is his fault. He gave her money and told her to go start a new life.
Yeah.
As intelligent as we think Ellie is, we've already heard her story of her dad passing, and that was the person that she was closest to. She came to L.A. a few months later and wrecked Delilah's life. But how do you tell a 16-year-old, 15, soon-to-be 16-year-old, to go? And was that really the best interest in her benefit at that time?
I think it was, and I think he deliberately knew how to deliver it so she would get it, because she's very stubborn. She's very hard-headed.
Yeah.
She loves her sister very much, and she was not going to let it go. Clearly, she's not going to let it go.
That's true,
He
yeah.
had to tell her, and I'm glad he didn't say, "Your sister's dead." He said, "Your sister's not coming back." Like, she's, you know,
yeah.
He knew not to break her, but kind of, like, ooh, I'm going to tell it to you plainly. You
I like
need
that.
To haul ass. Like, get out of town.
Right.
And so I think that's when she, I mean, we saw that she got it. She said, "I hate you," and all this other stuff. But she got out.
Yeah.
Out. I think he knew. So I ultimately, we know that he likes Ellie a lot. He didn't want to hurt her.
Right.
But this was not the best place for her to be. So, yeah.
Well, before we get into the rest of the bombs and all that encompass episode 10, yes, I wanted to let you deliver special news to yes. our viewers.
Thank you guys so much for sticking it out with us during the You After show and making After Buzz the ESPN of TV talk. If you're on YouTube, please continue to like, comment, subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe, tell your mom and dad to subscribe, tell your mom and dad to subscribe, and keep engaged with us, get into the live chat, and if you're on iTunes, leave us 5 stars, let us know we're doing an amazing job. We enjoyed watching you this season, we enjoyed covering you on AfterBuzz this season, and we can't wait to be there, hopefully for next season.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think we have a renewal notice, right?
No,
we
not yet,
know what
but
happens,
I think it comes by springtime. It,
yes.
Definitely, you can't leave us like that. And as Adeze was saying, thank you, JR and Alyssa, for being in the chat with yes. us. We will get to your comments shortly. But after that, we want to kind of move into just... So I want to just categorize this all as like Joe meeting his match with like everybody with 40. We've seen his visit with Dr. Nikki. Of course, we see how this is going to play out with him in Love. And where do you think, like, if you're in Joe's shoes, how do you keep yourself safe? And are you considering an exit plan?
Right now, I think Joe's back is to a wall. He's stuck between a hard rock and a hard place. There's no way to keep safe. His escape plans failed. He found out his ex-girlfriend is a murderess. B-I-T-C-H.
Yeah.
He has a little girl. He doesn't know what he's about to do with his the sister. Candace is now dead. Delilah is dead. This is not what he planned for. And this is not even what he... Usually when stuff goes awry and he figures it out, this is too deep now for... Now he has two people. Like, he can't even understand what love is now. Love the person is now. So just... How do you keep yourself safe? You don't. You just got to figure it out. And he's obviously not... he does not want whatever love's plan is to happen. Like, he's just like, this is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life. And that's when she starts freaking out, you know?
I like for him to be in this position because we're so used to him figuring it out. Yes. One way or another, he figures it out and gets out of the loophole or drama that he's in. But when they were at Lucy and Sunrise's wedding, their vows were saying, Sunrise said, did I write it down? The fact that, you know, love is someone seeing you totally and completely for who you are.
Yeah.
You seen like the stargaze in his eyes, and his inner monologue was like, well, maybe this is love. This is what I've been wanting. So like you said, love, the character has changed, but it's also their love has changed. And now how do you deal and continue to move on with that?
Right.
Do you think he's doing that because he's seeing love for who she is and now he's appreciative of her, or because of the baby?
I think the baby... The baby obviously saved her life in that moment, but this is what he ultimately wanted with this girl, just the path in between it.
Yeah.
wasn't his, I guess it wasn't his plan. Obviously yeah. not. So I think that opened his eyes a little bit, like, wow, you're the mom of my child, unborn child. I think did she predict that it was a girl?
Yeah, she's like,
it's a girl, you know? So I think that realized, like, wow, it made him think, like, okay, this is the love of my life.
I think...
I see her again now, you know?
I think I like the way you put that, that his plan got to the end result. He has the girlfriend, they're growing a family, they're starting one. But it wasn't his way of doing it.
Yes.
So I think that's also a shocker for him, too. Mm-hmm. I like the way that made me come out and think that now he has to adjust to doing this with somebody else. And it's not on him, which I would think is a relief. It should help give some of that burden off of his shoulders of trying to have to fight every battle by himself. Now he knows I got to kill her as a girlfriend. We're going to be in this thing together. She's going to protect me and I'm going to protect her. I cannot wait for season 3 when they do announce that season 3 is coming.
Right.
Because this baby, I bless his or her heart. Before it even comes in, because I don't even know how this is going to be possible between the two of them.
Yeah.
And like we said previously in a recent episode, everything that they've gone through, I don't think, as from children to adults, and they are now, they haven't made peace with.
Yes.
So I don't want that to then turn into this daughter or their son's life and they just be as hurtful and harmful to their child, who then comes up to be the next Joe and Love in adult life.
Right. Joe and Love Jr.
See, yeah, that's scary. I don't even want to make fun of that. Let's get into the 40 Love and Joe argument and Anaverin.
Yeah.
How do you, or you want to start with, let's start with 40 back trying to come into the rehearsal, which the wedding for Lucy and Sunrise. And the male friend thought it was another attempt of him being too high and called his sponsor. I actually like that he didn't let him come and interrupt the wedding. That wedding needed to have its own moment.
Yeah.
But my fear was that everybody he talked to was going to think that he was on drugs and that he was acting out when he was actually telling the truth, which always somehow saved Joe's life. At that point, I was nervous for Love. I was nervous for 40 because I didn't know how Love was going to react.
Yes.
What did you think was going to actually happen?
I don't know. I knew once
why you were watching. Sorry.
Yeah. Once we seen that he wasn't going to be able to get into the wedding, I just knew he's going to. I mean, we all knew that he's going to figure out his way to tell love, but we just didn't know how.
Yeah.
And I just felt so disappointed because, like we said, that was his first time being sober and clear-minded in that public setting. Obviously, right. We've seen him talk to Dr. Nikki. He was sober. But I was like, wow, this is the first time where he needs to be taken seriously and not a soul is going to take him seriously. And like you said, the friend was protecting the wedding. The wedding had to go on. There's no way that that was the time or space. But at the end of the day, he was just trying to protect his sister and he couldn't get a hold of her. He had no idea what was going on while he was gone.
I like that Love and Joe, when Lucy says everybody can finally turn on their phones, they get both messages from 40 and they kind of like look at each other. Mm-hmm. And then next we cut to them pulling up to a Navarin. I like how they kind of had a plan. Like, let me go cool him down. Give me 5 minutes and then come in. 5 minutes takes a little longer because Joe and Ellie have their moment. But I really thought I was on edge for the last, 10-15 minutes of the episode because I really thought Love was going to harm her brother.
Yeah.
Now, because she knows Joe, she sees Joe fully, and vice versa, Joe sees her fully. More so because she has a baby, though.
Yeah.
Do you think her attempt to actually try to calm down 40 was, do you think she could have done more, said more?
No, I think she did exactly what she could do as a pregnant woman. I see her throwing, he has a gun. I see her throwing herself in front of him, maybe tackling him had she not been pregnant, right? Because like he's not going to hurt me. I'm his sister, but she's pregnant. She had to be like really careful about like how she's moved, especially when you have somebody who's unraveled that with rabbit. A gun.
Yeah.
Right. And we saw that Joe kind of accepted that this might be it. Another come to terms moment, kind of like Dr. Nikki, where he's like, well, all the bad, I don't want to die.
Yeah.
But all the bad that I've done, maybe this is how it ends. And I just love how all the pieces came together. Like, had Ellie not escaped to an Averin and had Pinscher not obviously been following her.
Yes, yes.
Because he kept the tail on her. He wouldn't have been there for that moment to literally save Joe's life. It's just a complete full circle moment. But as far as Love, I mean, it's, be it 40 or anyone else, it's really hard to talk someone down with a gun. Especially in 40's correct. He didn't know that who Love really is.
Right.
And he didn't know that Love knew who Joe really is.
Oh,
okay. He didn't know that like Love knows all this.
Right.
He was just protecting his sister and she knew that he was protecting her, but
how far he could go just because of their relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
And then even after saying she was pregnant, he was just like, girl, you're not even a good mother either. Like, I'm telling you about yourself. I was like, whoa.
That was hurtful.
That was very hurtful because he's correct.
Yes.
But she's been taking care of him his whole life. And for him to say that to her,
that's why it was
really killed her. Mm-hmm. She's like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wasn't doing a good job.
So let me say, when the Officer Finch said that he would put a tail on Ellie and that he would be the tail, I didn't like that at first. I kind of felt like he was going to set her up or catch her doing something and just another way for her to be in Child Protective Services or back in jail or something like that. I am glad that he actually did and he became the, I guess we'll call him the hero, lifesaver of Joe. We'll get to that in one moment too. But I think before, I wasn't too happy with Love. Before 40 poured out his gun, I feel like she should have went and did more to try to explain either her love for Joe or Joe knows everything I've done or I know everything Joe's done and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
To see what 40 would he still be trying to protect her or would he now be mad at Love for accepting this type of love and putting herself in this predicament.
Yeah, I'm thinking of anything that she could have said that would have changed the fact that he's been lying to them their entire life. Like, all the bad that's happening, he's blaming it on Joe.
But so is she.
Yeah, but in that moment,
all their lives. So their codependency is now not even, it's for her sake.
Right.
Not even really beneficial for him.
Right, but if I'm 40 and I'm like, well, me and you got a bone to pick later.
Yeah.
Because we got some problems, but I'm still your brother. I'm still going to protect you from him. I don't think there's anything that Love could have said to him what makes him think like, you know what? All right, I'll lower the gun. Even saying, it doesn't matter how you feel, he's the father of my child, still didn't make
it
him.
You're right. She tried to say, like, I'm pregnant.
It's pregnant.
Our baby.
It's our baby.
Coming.
He was just like, and Alex Kabogami. Like, he was just so mad. Like, so I don't know what she could have done.
So when the gun went off, did you think he had shot Joe?
Yes.
I thought so, too. I really thought so, too. And I also even thought, like, maybe Love was kind of in a mist trying to stop and maybe got her shoulder tagged or her waist or something of that nature.
They
thought
did
it was that
camera
too.
Angle very well.
They really did.
Usually it happens where someone else, like, when, every time a shot goes off, the person who you think died didn't die. And, but because of the way the camera angle was, I didn't even think about Officer Fincher being there.
Right.
I totally forgot about it. So that was... That was a great scene. And I thought Joe was gone.
I did too.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't have you without Joe.
Yeah,
so
can't.
When I seen Officer Fincher standing in the doorway and he's like, everybody okay? I was like, oh no, 40.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to die.
No, I didn't either.
Second person, I really didn't want him to die. I feel like I need him in season 3. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
But again, as Love and Joe always say, they have to protect their love.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, she's lost a brother, a twin at that, if that makes them more closer. And then Joe's in his mind like, I have to now help her grieve. I know she's looking at me to come comfort her. But again, he was just about to kill me. He knows what's going on. And then my second question is like, how much did Officer Finch hear, not only between Joe and Ellie, but between their argument?
I want to know if
that's going to come back.
I don't think he heard that much because we see in the fast forward, they're free and they're just living their life. So,
we'll get to that.
But like, they're not in jail,
right?
They're not in trouble. I think he might have snuck in at the nick of time where he was like on his knees.
Yeah.
And he was pointing the gun. So.
We have Alyssa in the live chat. She says, definitely Joe is developing an exit plan. He would totally abandon his new family for someone else.
We know that.
Yeah. So thank you, Alyssa, for that. We see how keen he is to kind of, I don't know if it's really self-loathing. He makes a point to say the most perfect punishment is getting exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's either doing the self-loathing part or if he's just realizing this is now my bed. Let me make the best of it.
Yeah.
Because this is what he wanted at some point.
Yeah.
We do see Love has a whole 6-month belly or so. They're moving into a new home. Her mother's there. Her mother gave me a little creepy eye,
like
at Joe,
mom.
Where she doesn't maybe, I don't know. I'm so excited just to see what else is going to come from season 3.
Yeah.
But then we see Joe practically maybe in peace, at peace. He got his book. He's out by the poolside, reading, doing everything that he, I guess, to show that they have moved on. But then what does he see over the fence?
A woman. And it's like, you know, like, is he really Joe? If he didn't do that? It really blew my mind.
Me? I was like, he didn't learn his damn lesson.
I could not believe, not even learn his lesson. After all of that, are you not tired? Joe, are you tired?
Because I am.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired. He was ready to accept his death. He was ready to accept the death of Delilah.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, but if we're going to have a season 3, it has to be this way. And I know it's not going to be. I think all the viewers right now are thinking it's going to be the stereotypical, but now she's going to be the next to stalk. No, now he has Love now. Love is a different type of character. She's not just any girl. So it's going to be a very tangled situation. It's not going to be straightforward, like, this is his new obsession. She's probably going to be his new obsession, but something is going to be, Love is going to catch him looking over that fence one too many times. You know what I mean? It's going to be something crazy.
When it first happened, I was like, two things that I want to happen in season 3. One, watch that be like one of Beck's friends from the crew back in the day that just happened to be neighbors now in LA, or somebody he knows that he essentially was trying to get a peek at because we couldn't see over her hat. And Ellie needs to come back, and I want her to come back with a vengeance.
Yes.
I want her to come back to be able to honor her sister and actually just protect her sister better and the killer out, the story out about what happened between her and Henderson, and even put Joe back in the spider's web of the script that 40 wrote, having it published or movie or whatever. I kind of want Ellie to come back 4 or 5 years later. She's an adult now. She's been through college. She made her way. Maybe we get to see some of how that went.
Yes.
But I want her to come back with a vengeance.
Ditto.
So before we continue on, get towards the end of our after show, we'll have Adeze give us some news about some of our characters in the show.
So, Pam Badgley spoke to... Pen Badgley spoke to Vice, and he says that the psychopath that he plays in you might exist in all of us. He says that Joe, the character he plays, Joe, really shows us our really strange and distorted ideas of love and relationships that actually are really lust and possession, and it's not actual love. And it makes me think about, you know, of course, I don't think I'm a psychopath or a sociopath, but do we have these tendencies inside of us? These expectations that are not realistic. I know, for example, for me, I'm an instant gratifier. I like instant gratification. So, like, if I'm talking to a guy and he's not responding quick enough, I start jumping to all these different conclusions and scenarios. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe he's with another girl. Maybe he has a kid. Is he hiding a wife? Like, all these crazy tendencies when really my expectation should be he has his own life and he's doing his own thing and he'll get to me when he gets to me. So, do I have a little psychopath inside of me? I don't know. What do you think?
I think... do I want to tell her myself? I feel like, no. I feel like, yes, if I would let her live. But I do my hardest not to let her live. Meaning I'm very direct. Yeah. If I say it's the end, it's the end. Okay. You better not come back around. I'm going to give you the direct words on to let you know it's over and we're done. Because I'm scared of her. So I don't want her being the psychopath within Tequila. I don't ever want her to come out.
That together.
So, yes, she's in here, but I do my damnedest to not let her come out.
Yeah, and we're not stalking anyone's exes or committing any murders. But yeah. I get what he's trying to say, especially with social media.
Yeah, that's where it's all the
unrealistic led. Expectations, possessiveness. As soon as I exchange numbers with a guy, he's mine.
False
so
ownership.
That's how I feel, guys.
You know what? That's a great way to segue into our real life stalker stories with our special segment. I'm going to go ahead and give out our stalker story this evening. It's going to be a woman this time.
Okay.
Which I don't want to say I want to give a shout out to, but we've been doing the men. So I feel like episode 10 is the finale. Let's see.
Shout out to the stalking women.
How crazy
women.
Some of our women are out here. So we have Jacqueline. I'll leave her last name out. At the time, she was 33 and she had become obsessed with a successful CEO that she bombarded with 159,000 text messages. I don't know how you give somebody 159 text messages, but it also says that Jacqueline then broke into his home in Arizona after they had met on a dating app called Luxy. Have you heard of that?
I think it's for like rich people or something.
Oh, okay. I was like, 'cause that was a new one to me, but they met, she broke into his home in Arizona after they had met on a dating app called Luxy more than a year earlier. So this is over a year's time. After that, they only went out on one date, but she flooded his phone again with text messages that read, "I love you. I'd make sushi out of your kidneys and chopsticks out of your hand bones." In another text, she became more threatening, saying, "I need money. You'll give it to me or I'll force it." In April 2018, the CEO, he was out on a cruise, but he had the CCTVs in his home, and he happened to be checking them, and he sees Jacqueline walking around in his home. So he calls the police. The police arrived. They found her in his bathtub. She had also brought her two dogs home, into the CEO's home with her. She cooked a meal and a bottle of wine was already prepared and waiting. She said she was waiting for her husband to come home, and this was the CEO. She was arrested and charged of threatening, stalking, and harassment, but still insisted that she had found true love with the very alarmed and frightened CEO.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
That's a lot. Yeah. I don't understand the how bold, how crazy, I don't know what you want to call it, to break into somebody's home and wait.
Do you remember that happened to Chris Brown with the stalker?
No,
she found his address, and she was like from Texas, and I think she was like mentally ill, and she like took up like buses, and then she was like in his robe, in his house, just waiting there, and he like came home, and he was just like, "Girl."
But do you know, like, are you a fan of somebody, like anybody you can think of that you just like their work or their music, their art, whatever it may be?
Yeah, I love Mariah Carey's Dirty Draws, and I've never ever sneak into her house and break in.
But have you even took that's the thing. I'm trying to not make myself a stalker, but it's so much energy to try to find out where they live.
It's a mental illness, I think. It's a factor between
that. We'll have to come up with a creative name for the whatever that mental illness is. But that was our number 10, episode 10, real life stalker stories for you. Thank you for always joining in and commenting with us. So before we close out, I have some more people in the chat wanting to join in. JS says that he's not sure if the baby is Joe's, because remember, the friend had came back for a little bit, even though she said she made him use condoms. He's just not sure that the baby is Joe's. He said it could be the guy from
Australia. And she could have used it to save her life at that time, and she doesn't care. She wants Joe, so...
Yeah. And then we also have Jenna James, who also says it sounds like one of them apps that Snapchat is always trying to promote. So she said, be aware. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said, just be aware from that. It's crazy people on some crazy things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that goes back into your online dating. Just be as safe as you can. You know, just tell your location to a trusted friend or family member. Let somebody be close enough on their own, you know, date or lunch, but close enough to get to you if need be. Just, you know, we don't want any real life stalker stories in 2020 and beyond. Like, yeah, we want to be smart and safe. But thank you for chilling with us and hanging out and commenting and subscribing for this season 2 of You. As always, I am Tequila Jackson. You can hang out with me at Tequila_IAM. Adeze.
And my name is Adeze. Thanks for tuning in this season. You can follow me on Instagram at @1Adeze, 1AdaEze.
And let's flood Netflix's gates to let them know we're already ready for season three of You, because we're gonna you be just back. Can't leave us with that hanger. Again, enjoy.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.